News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Remarkable day in downtown Mobile yesterday with the dedication of that Hall of Fame walk and those statues. And those statues are just to be marveled at. They're really amazing. So when you get a chance, just on the other side of Water Street, still not the ideal spot. You got to cross that 4-6 lane road.
Mm-hmm.
But there was enough of us there yesterday. Just a big turnout. It was really, really nice to watch. So really a red letter day for the city of Mobile yesterday. And I think once that you're going to have the Amtrak site will be there, and more importantly, you're going to have that new hotel development just to the north of the Outlaw Convention Center. So that'll be a 4 or 6 story hotel. So that'll, you know, that'll populate that side of the street a little bit.
Yeah, and with these changes to the streets downtown, and I know some of you are down there every day. I'm lucky if I make it downtown maybe once every other week. I just don't make it down there as much. I'm out in West Mobile with the family. So we try when we can. I've driven down there a lot. But this two-way, turning the one-ways into two-ways, and some people saying, hey, people are already using them as two-ways, so why not? I didn't realize so many people were driving the wrong way down these one-way streets.
Well, there's just confusion, I think, because of the streets need repaving, and I guess some downtown streets look like they're not even like asphalt. I don't know what they're old streets.
Yeah.
And so you just, once you get off of Dolphin or Government, you're more in an area where the lines, it's not lined up well. It's not clear. Certainly St. Louis, we know that's two ways because that's been built up with engineering firms, the Greer's Market and other businesses. So St. Louis, they've kind of revived that street. So it's a little more clear as you're on it what you're dealing with. It's a bigger boulevard than some of the streets in between that and Dolphin. But it's, you know, there's just a number of streets down there that are old and not paved or signed well, or the paint on the roads don't clearly indicate what you're on.
Now, a lot of these that they're making changes to are north of Government. I'm just wondering, I guess what I'm trying to get to is this all a move to kind of make that with the new arena and the new stuff that's closer to the cruise terminal and kind of revamping downtown? Are they trying to make everything kind of simpatico and maybe eventually make it easier to cross Government to get to the Civic Center or to cross to get downtown from the Civic Center?
I don't know if one's related to the other.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it seems to me that the streets we're talking about here that they want to are now one, or they want to make them two-way. Again, those streets, I think, are all that run. They run across Dolphin, across Government. You know, they're
gotcha.
Running north and south, if I have that right. So St. Anthony, that's a north-south road. That comes in right at the Bienville Square, at the east end of Bienville Square Park. You've got St. Joseph, Warren, Dearborn, and Jefferson. I know some of those are north-south streets.
Yeah, so
are all of them north-south
streets? Dearborn and Warren are north-south, more or less. St. Anthony is east-west.
Okay.
And you, what was the other
St. Joseph, I think, is north-south.
So yeah, it's going to make some big changes, especially if you're someone who lives and works down there a lot. Councilman Carroll seemed a little concerned about how this will all play out, but it seemed the most important thing to him, which you referenced there, is the paving and to get just a lot of these roads kind of fixed.
Yeah, so you have so two projects here, $1.09 million packed with McElhaney Construction Company to replace nearly two dozen traffic lights and flashing lights. Like one is a flashing light right there by Moe's on Washington Street at Dolphin. So you have some flashing lights, they're going to be gone, and you're going to have some stop lights, and they're going to go, and they'll, I guess, in I don't want to guess here live on the air, but I guess we're talking about four-way stops. Could be.
Yeah.
But there'll be stop signs there instead of the lights, just making everything more uniform, more understandable for the driver and for the pedestrian as well. And I think part of this is trying to protect pedestrians downtown for sure.
Yeah, and then two big issues would be parking. A lot of people are worried they're going to lose some of the parking they currently have.
Yeah.
And then the delivery trucks you were talking about, and some of these businesses saying, hey, if we make these two-way, will there be enough room for trucks? The city said, hey, the fire trucks are able to do it, so you should be able to. It seems like Mayor Stimson, obviously, the shot clock's running down, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
and just
right.
trying to get these last little things in before we have a new mayor. And this vote at the city council yesterday came on the same day as qualifying ended. And I don't know if you were surprised or not. I kind of thought that I knew we'd see people drop out of the race, but to lose Batiste and Burrell yesterday, now you have and there's a little, not controversy, but you had two names that jumped in late into the race.
Yeah, I'll give you those names. It's Marion Dias and Donovet Eli.
So a couple news organizations, I think KRG and NBC 15 said that they're out. They're not in.
So we're down to four candidates.
Down to
four, saying.
But others are saying that we're at six, that you have the four, Cherry Goddess, Drummond, Hudson, Prine, and that Dias and Eli are still in. They came in so late, and compared to the other four, don't have the same name recognition, so I'm not sure really matters one way or the other, but Barbara Drummond does have a press conference planned for 9:30 this morning. This will be at Government Plaza in the Commission Conference Chamber Room, 9:30, and will join special guests to hold a press conference and make a major announcement that I would guess means endorsement or endorsements coming. I don't know if it's from the two that dropped out yesterday or
right.
somebody else jumping in the mix here.
No comment yesterday, according to Lanyap, from Batiste, who is currently the Strickland Youth Center Deputy Administrator. He, of course, was police chief at one time. And also former Mobile City Councilman who moved out of town. I guess he has moved back. Jermaine Burrell, I got a hold of his office a couple of weeks back, maybe a month ago or so now, probably, right? And actually was calling out of town when I was trying to get a hold of him. Well, with cell numbers now, you know, what's the big difference? But he's somebody who left the city, I think, enjoyed some success in the Boston area. And but for whatever reason, he's been pretty quiet. He's never come on the show. He was a councilman at one time, but he's out, mm-hmm. and it may be their endorsements of her would be your guess.
That's a theory. I don't know for sure. I guess we'll find out in about an hour 15. It does make things a little more interesting as we're now two months and a day from the election. I thought it was also interesting as you went kind of through the Mobile City Council races that Bo Fleming, now CJ Small is running unopposed, but he's incumbent and the president of the council.
Yeah.
But Bo Fleming, new name there, and he's going to replace Joel Daves because he doesn't, as things appear now, have an opponent in that race. We'll have to get Bo Fleming on to talk about his plans for District 5. That's kind of surprising to me, too, that you have someone running for an empty seat and no opposition.
And kind of a, you know, powerful part of town. I mean, I don't know the exact lines of what district.
District 5.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what the lines are, but I do believe that does include a good bit of Spring Hill, where a lot of the, Mobile well-to-dos mm-hmm. are there, and people who would like to have an a pretty good handle on what's going on in the city. So, but Fleming may be just popular enough. I know Bo, full mm-hmm. disclosure, I know Bo. I know a lot of the people who are now around the same age. They knew Zach back in high school and mm-hmm. all that. So I know some of these kids who are now grown-ups, and some of them awfully well for themselves. And I think Bo's, I guess, he's a good guy, and he's no one wanted to oppose him, so he's going to walk in. He was a tough running back at St. Paul, so we'll place Bo in the end zone already.
And District 5, so most of you know the general layout, but it really goes from about from east to west between Hillcrest and University.
Okay.
Basically takes that Airport Boulevard corridor all the way down to, Pine Hill Drive is exactly where. And then north-south for District 5, You go up basically to, what are we looking at here? You go from Cottage Hill north to, is that Old Shell I'm looking at? Anyway, that's basically the parameters of District 5. And unopposed, that's kind of a surprise to me. 251-343-0106. Are you surprised anyone dropped out of the mayoral or any of these other races? And do you have a new favorite? If that's the case, let us know. 251-343-0106. Texter here says, where can Mobile citizens find the district map? I just Googled City of Mobile City Council map, and it's at the city website, cityofmobile.org. If you just Google it, it'll lead you to the link, but you can probably get there too just going through the city website.
And I think it's also interesting you have incumbents, although William Carroll is, you know, barely that. He was a councilman back in the day and then ran again. And he
has two challengers.
He's got, well.
Unless Reggie Hill dropped out.
Reggie, I think he has. So he did have two. Now you got Samantha Ingram. So we need to find out more about her. So she is, I've seen some of her signs around in the downtown area. So Samantha Ingram is the one and only running against William Carroll. And then you've got Ben Reynolds facing Bill Appling. But I think it's interesting that Josh Woods is saying, hey, what did I do wrong? Because Josh Woods in District 6 has got a pair of challengers, William Frazier and Paul Underdonk, and so we'll, you know, be interesting to see what those individuals have got to say about what they're dissatisfied with in terms of the representation that's being delivered by Josh Woods.
And I can't recall, I guess I'll have to look it up, how many challengers Gina Gregory has had in elections past, but she has one for District 7 this year, and that's Robert Battle Sr. running for that. So possibly some competitive races, maybe not. Some of these do have more than one extra challenger there, a couple districts with three running for the race, and then now down to likely four for the mayoral. 251-343-0106.
So we have just mayoral alone. Let's just break this down a little bit. If right now we're down to Spiro Chirigatis, former, of course, district judge, State Rep Barbara Drummond, Mobile County Commissioner Connie Hudson, formerly in currently in office, and former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. All right, with those four, now you got to get 50% or higher to avoid a runoff, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So we're almost guaranteed a runoff, are we not?
Well, we were, and there were so many names in the race. I don't know, because we've had this conversation so many times, and it almost seems lazy. And it seems, I don't know, it does seem lazy to say there's a black vote and a white vote. But historically,
Rob Hulbert with Land Yap has said to us that's been the history of the city, that the blacks vote black and the whites.
And of course, it's not 100% 100%.
No.
But generally.
If you're trying to figure out which way an election's going to go. So we have one. A minority candidate is still in the no yeah one
Drummond
and
that's yeah.
Drummond yeah.
And she's well known state representative,
great name ID, a lot of opinions on a lot of things, state rep, she's got a voting record, so you can check that voting record if you like.
Yeah, so you have I think Connie and Spiro competing for, and I may be wrong on this, let me know on the text line if you feel differently, but I think competing for a lot of the same votes. You have Prine, who has kind of carved out his own lane, it seems to me, but still has a lot of support. And then Drummond, I think, is going to come in with a ton of support, too. And we'll see what kind of endorsements come in there. Texter here says, so what race is Paul Prine? I believe he's white.
Yeah, he's white.
I don't know. Let's see. Where can Mobile... here's the texter. I played baseball against Bo. He hit a home run against me. Not sure it has landed yet.
That's pretty funny. He was a... So the first year that we did high school football back in 2000, period. That was it. Bo was a senior at St. Paul's, I believe, and he was just had this amazing balance. He was rugged. He wasn't real fast, but he was fast enough, and then he had this, he just could get through the line of scrimmage and say, Why isn't it going down? really good balance to strong running
back. We'll have to see what kind of balance he has on some divisive political issues at the city council once he apparently will take his seat, if he indeed doesn't have a challenger.
Boys, isn't that true, Dalton? It's a big learning curve. We learn that from the young council members that get in, and then they're almost like, wow, this was a big bite. I didn't even realize it. But there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of angles to try and figure out for you to be an effective councilman. It's almost like your first year, if you could redshirt that first year as a councilman, I think you would.
Well, and it's easy to say, and we destroy politicians all the time. Of course, we're very critical of all of them from the very local level up high. And when we get into the radio business, I mean, it's especially the news talk business. We know that people are going to dislike us. We know people are going to like us. But for public service, it really is kind of a leap. If you're living in if you're making a decent living, you have a good family, you're liking where you live, it's quite the leap to jump into politics, even at that level, because you're going to create some enemies. And that's just something you kind of have to live with.
And a lot of these people are people who are nice people. And so they're not used to having a bunch of enemies. Some of them they don't even know. You know, it's got to be a little bit uncomfortable. Now, it goes with the job, but it's the uncomfortable suit that you got to put on for the job is dealing with all of that. And, you know, I don't know that I could. I mean, I don't like the criticism that I received doing this, which I'm not saying it's not fair, but I don't like that. So I don't think I'd like getting kicked around politically.
Texter here says Paul Prine is Native American. I'd check on that. 251-343-0106. Big immigration raid at the Gulf Shores High School construction site. We'll dive into that coming up.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 827 Mobile Mornings. Are they going to have to take apart the Gulf Shores, their new high school, or start from scratch? Or what are they gonna have to do?
Yeah, do you have to restart when you lose 37 members of your construction crew? That was a big story yesterday and will continue to be. The deportation raids continue, and there have been quite a few of those, especially in Baldwin County over these last couple of months. Then another raid yesterday, and tons of video out there on this. This where they're building up the Gulf Shores High School.
Yeah.
And the FBI Mobile Public Information Officer Tommy Loftus confirmed the raid occurred around noon yesterday at that site, and about 37 were detained. That number might change as they process each individual worker. Loftus said the site and other areas were targeted for immigration raids after law enforcement agencies received tips that undocumented individuals may be working there. And you had all these same agencies that have been working on these raids that showed up yesterday at that site in Gulf Shores. The city and the city school system put a joint statement out after this happened, saying the site is under the complete control of the general contractor. Quote, the city of Gulf Shores and Gulf Shores City Schools are aware that a federal immigration inspection was conducted at the construction site of the new Gulf Shores High School. It is under the complete control of the general contractor, and no city or school employees were present at the time of the inspection, and said we encourage inquiries for any further information regarding the inspection to be directed to the parties involved. So it's like, we hired them. But that's it.
And also the idea that somebody said the illegals could have been parts of subcontract work.
Yeah, and a lot more of you know a lot more about how that business works, how exactly it works. But the city saying we hired Rayburn to come on, and then after that it's up to them. Rayburn did put out a statement. They said they're aware of the ICE raid that occurred at the Gulf Shores High School construction site, and RGC is fully cooperating with all authorities investigating this matter. We have no further comment at this time. We'll see how big this story grows, because Rayburn's actually on a lot of projects right now, apparently.
Yeah, they're very well connected in the state of Alabama. Rayburn is currently working on projects including the Foley Beach Express, the new State House in Montgomery, student housing at Auburn University. If they worked on the golf course at Auburn University, they'd probably run into Hugh Freeze. And also the Margaritaville Resort in Orange Beach.
Oh, Lord.
You panicked when you heard that.
Yeah, did you say the Margaritaville State House? Is that right?
Both, yeah. 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:35 now, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We get to the text here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Good morning, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're great. Sun's out, guns out, vehicles out on the lot at McConnell Automotive, and you guys have plenty to choose from out there right now.
That's right. The sun is out. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, we got salesmen. They'll crank that car up when you come by here and look at it or let us know. We'll get it running, get it cool so you can check it out properly. And got some great deals on GM certified trucks sitting out front. Also got, don't forget, we got 0% on Sierras. And we got a mess of them. I'm sitting here looking at some Denalis, AT4s, regular SLTs, three-quarter tons and half tons. Got that new body style Acadia. I think I'm going to buy my wife one of them. Boy, those things look great. And, I mean, don't forget, if you have that unfortunate accident, got a great body shop, McConnell Collision Center. Rachel and all the guys and girls back there take care of all your needs. And great service department. You call us at 251-476-4141. Check our website out, McConnellAutomotive.com. Yeah, check out all these pretty little vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty little and pretty big vehicles. You have them all covered.
Right.
Thank you, Louie. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dauphin Street, east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
If you were to come downtown yesterday, I know you're busy in the studio here doing some maintenance work. Thank you for doing it because it needed to be done. but... it was the Tennessee Titans festival downtown, and you were not really aware of it. But Robert Brazil, with the whole Hall of Fame walk that is now downtown, they dedicated it yesterday. Dr. Doom was there in great spirits, and the owner of the Tennessee Titans,
Amy Adams Strunk. Yeah.
Bud Adams' daughter, I guess, right?
That's right.
So they were the Oilers in Houston, but he's in the, I guess, the Hall of Fame or the Walk of Honor or whatever it is, and up in Tennessee, both, right?
So they have the Ring of Honor like so many teams do. And I was actually, I believe, if I remember correctly, forgive me, I was in Nashville, so things get forgotten when I go up there. But I think I went to the game where they officially inducted Brazil into the Oilers/Titans Ring of Honor.
Did you realize he was a Mobilian?
Oh, yeah. This was just a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And there wasn't really much out there saying he would be at the event yesterday. I was kind of guessing yesterday morning that he would because he shows up to Mobile stuff. You know, he's at the Senior Bowl all the time. And, but the fact that he brought Earl Campbell,
I say
cool.
He brought him.
He was there with him.
Yeah. So I think I saw Earl Campbell. It was so hot. Now they had a temporary cover that helped a lot. Kind of a roof
like a
made
tent
out of
kind of thing,
almost like a tent kind of fabric. So they had that stretched out over where most of the people were seated, and I saw this older dude in a wheelchair, and I wasn't thinking, hey, that's Earl Campbell. What I was thinking was, these people are going to, this is a recipe for a hard time here because it's so hot. So they need to get the show on the road here. But it turned out it was Earl Campbell.
Wow.
Who was a great running back for the Oilers. I mean, amazing running back. If you want to see a highlight of him, go to YouTube. And if you're young in age, you're like, I don't know who that guy was. Well, find out, because he was a very violent running back.
Well, and we won't turn this into an entire sports thing, but I will say, with Earl Campbell, and it's a franchise you wouldn't expect it from, but I say the Oilers and Titans, by far the best running backs as a franchise. You go from Earl Campbell, and then down the road when they get into Tennessee, Eddie George, still an Oiler, Tennessee Oiler.
Yeah.
Then you get Chris Johnson, who came from East Carolina, out of Florida, went to ECU, ran for over 2,000 yards, one of the most fun athletes I've ever seen on a football field.
Yeah, he was great.
And then, what was that other guy's name?
Yeah.
Was it Derrick Henry?
So Derrick Henry, if you were to say, what was Earl Campbell was more compact, but he had the same
style, kind of.
Yeah, he had the same results.
Mm.
free safeties laying on the ground. You know, like, wow, I wasn't betting on this. I thought I was going to make the tackle. No, you weren't going to make the tackle. So anyway.
You wonder how a Dr. Doom, Derrick Henry collision would have gone if they were in their prime.
Wow.
Both of them.
No kidding. It was fun. And then just the fact that they were so represented. Didn't you see a picture online about mm-hmm. the Titans?
Well, yeah. I think John Sharp took a good picture of Robert Brazil and his family. So that's really cool. And then, of course, baseball was kind of the main theme yesterday with so many of the Hall of Famers being represented and Peavy doing what he did downtown.
So he had a great night. So I talked to Jake before his event at the Outsider, Insider, and he had a kind of a baseball-themed event, but he had a lot of former White Sox and former teammates from back in the day that were in town, and it was just this celebration of baseball.
That's cool.
And he also attended the luncheon yesterday with these players that are, well, and it was Billy Williams and Brazil were the two players who were actually there, but he spent a lot of time with the families of Hank Aaron and the families of Ozzie Smith, Willie McCovey. Mm-hmm. He said it was just phenomenal.
That's awesome. Also, it was with the Senior Bowl changing title sponsors yesterday.
Yep.
And we had the new executive director yep. of the Senior Bowl, Drew Fabianich, on with us before he went on the Feinbaum show. So we got the scoop yesterday morning. And
he was coming off a Good Morning Football.
Good Morning Football.
On the NFL Network. So
that's awesome.
We squeezed him in.
That's right. And so it's now the Panini Senior Bowl and some changes coming along with that. I had ideas of what I wanted to talk about here as we head towards talking with Jeff Poor. But then Leanna said, hey, check out this post I just put up on Facebook. She was like, I know you guys love the Carolina squatted trucks. You know, the trucks that have the front end lifted about, I don't know, half a foot higher than the back end sometimes.
Yeah, you could hit a pedestrian and never know it.
You wouldn't know. Oh. Yeah, and you could run over a small animal and they'd think they're in the clear until they get to that back end of the vehicle and then they're in some trouble. But scraping the coast, I didn't realize that Biloxi, and I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they're home to basically a squatted truck convention. And they wrote a bunch of tickets. This happened this past weekend.
It's almost like a sting operation. If you have all the squatted trucks in one area, they're just walking right into an arrest.
A trap. Squatty trap. Potty trap. According to Biloxi Police, 406... Okay, and I'm getting an update, so called the California Lean. I guess there's a lot of different names for this. But according to Biloxi Police, 406 violations were cited on Friday and Saturday, and 120 of those citations were for squatted vehicles.
Wow.
It was quite the easy operation.
Festival. Yeah, yeah.
This is the first year squatted vehicles are illegal in Mississippi. It went into effect July 1st of last year, which was a week after scraping the coast last year. So they said, all right, you get this one, and next year we're coming with a vengeance. They officially qualify as a squatted vehicle if they have been modified to have the front fender 4 or more inches higher than the rear fender. $100 fine for the first offense with a misdemeanor charge. Second offense comes with a $200 fine, and a third offense within 5 years would net a $300 fine and a suspended license. 60 vehicles were towed this year from the Scraping the Coast event, up from 14 last year. And last year they gave out 517 tickets. So I was thinking about that the other day. Of course, we ride around these squatted trucks all the time. But how do you get groceries? How do you pick something up without having it just when you open that when you open your tailgate or open the rear hatch? Doesn't that stuff just roll right onto you?
I mean, these are not trucks or vehicles that act in any sort of functional way, you know, picking up your grandmother to take her to the hairdresser. How's that work? Or like you say, groceries, or you get some from Home Depot and it just comes sliding out. So I don't know. So they have an actual cruising the coast that's kind of a big, I guess the
cruising the coast is like more of a traditional car.
Yes. Yeah. Like, so Biloxi, D'Iberville, Gulfport, Bay St. Louis, Waveland. So I don't know if it's in all those locations at one time, but it's more of a fall event when the weather cools off a little bit. So you can look for cruising the coast, but you're right, that's more of just a legit car show.
It's a fall event anytime you try to get out of one of those squatted trucks. Every time. Angry Patriot says, Dalton, what's crazy is I've had police tell me they're not illegal. Some go as far as driving with a front camera just to see the road in front. That's terrible.
What was crazy.
And I can't recall. There were so many laws passed or dropped at the end of this year's legislative session. I do not recall where Alabama stands currently on the legal, whether these squatter trucks are legal or not. Texter here. Good morning, guys. Something been on my mind for a while. The city of Daphne hired coyote trappers. I know. Do you know they hired people over Mobile? Oh, this is Bucky the Beaver. Okay. Good morning, guys. That makes more sense. Bucky the Beaver texting this. Good morning, guys. Something been on my mind for a while. Daphne hired coyote trappers. I know they hired people over Mobile to trap my family, but they wasted that money. There's no way they're going to get rid of coyotes. May get rid of some cats or dogs, pets or something like that, but they're not going to get rid of the coyotes. So there you go. Thank you for the text there. Jason says, good morning, guys. With Alabama being an E-Verify state, who's going to get called out for allowing all the illegal workers? And I mean, you have to look at your political leaders and the businesses that hire, I would say. He said, seems like E-Verify is like a speed limit. Nobody pays attention to it. We need to figure out how to put some teeth into it. And then Jason also says, a Margaritaville in the state house would definitely turn up the Jeff Poor show. It would probably turn up some of those late night house meetings too, if they had a Margaritaville there.
So that's been referencing the company that
that's in charge of building the Gulf Shores High School.
Yeah, and it's doing other projects, including Foley Beach Express, the state house in Montgomery, and so Margaritaville down in. Along the coast somewhere.
Yeah, just across from Owa. I mean, not from Owa, from the wharf. And they're going to take, they'll have a boat, a ferry, every 30 minutes to get you from Margaritaville to the wharf.
So
more shopping and dining on the Margaritaville side, too.
Okay, so that was the project. That
Bama Bayou,
went,
is that what
yeah, it
was?
That's yeah. right. It just went dormant because of finances way back in the day, but something remained over there. So they've taken that, and that's where Margaritaville is going to be.
That's what I understand. I might be a little off on that, but that's how I understand it. Butterknife, our politicians are completely responsible for these companies being allowed to use illegal labor. To keep profits high, they allow this to happen. Katie Britt is invested in companies like 68 Ventures. Tommy Tuberville has political advisors who are invested in this. It's not just construction companies. Large corporations are doing the same thing. Yeah. For the most part, these illegals are great guys. They work their butts off. Until we get some politicians with some real backbone, we're not fixing it. They are just going to change them out. And that from Butterknife. 251-343-0106. And we talk, I guess, complain so often about the price of projects that are ordered by the state or by our own municipalities or whatever it may be, and they always end up going over budget, it seems, mm-hmm. for the most part. Although in Mobile, I guess that we've seen, I think, more success for city projects in Mobile as far as cost than around the rest of the state, some of the bigger boondoggles like the prison thing going on here. But as conservatives, for the most, well, just as people who want to see your state do well and the people who were born or moved legally to your state do well, what's that handoff? Because the reason that maybe a lot of these companies probably are getting these big bid projects is because they have technically the lower price. And you get a lower price by having either cheaper labor or cutting costs somewhere.
Yeah.
So as people of the state of Alabama, we want to see lower cost on projects, but we also want to see it be legal labor and preferably using people who were born here or who legally moved here. So you kind of got to have to find that balance, right? You can't complain all the time that everything costs so high, but also complain that illegal labor is being used.
Well, at the rate that you're paying illegals, I think that that would not motivate people to get off their couch because the money, you know, is too little.
Mm.
And that's part of it. Also, I think that there's probably a little lack of work ethic, but when it doesn't make a lot of sense to get on the job because you're receiving some benefits otherwise, you know, why would you go out there for that price? These guys are, I guess they're almost all guys, are willing to do that. And but now there's a reckoning, and here we're kind of at that reckoning right now.
Mm-hmm. Ben says cities, counties, and states like the cheaper costs, so they aren't asking the right questions, but they are certainly quick to pass the blame on to their general contractors when their projects are busted. And Angry Patriot, back on the squatted truck debate, says most local municipalities follow the state statute that any modification that obstructs a driver's view is illegal. You don't need a squat law, just make penalties more severe. Law enforcement. And remember those big articles coming out from like Wall Street Journal and New York Times, and they were just talking about how dangerous not the lifted vehicles are, mm-hmm. but just larger SUVs and trucks. Mm-hmm. And they went on this rampage saying that they were the most dangerous thing out there and that kids are getting hit left and right. I haven't seen any massive articles on the squatted trucks and how dangerous those are.
That's a very good point there, Dalton. Also, what do you think? Do you think the price is a little high on what's going on downtown? $1.09 million pack with McElhaney Construction to replace nearly two dozen traffic lights and flashing lights with stop signs. That's a good chunk of money right there. And I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying, does this sound like what you would price this at? If you're in the construction business, over $1 million to swap out the stoplights for
stop signs,
and also a $3.38 million contract with Asphalt Services Incorporated to turn St. Anthony, St. Joseph, Warren, Dearborn, and Jefferson Streets from one-way to two-way roads and do a lot of repaving and all that, too, which I'm telling you needs to be done down there. But
yeah,
anyway, I don't know what the price tags look like on those articles. It seems more than it should be, but
I don't know how much that's supposed to cost, because right now I'm just resisting repaving my driveway.
I did that for years. I really did do that for years, and it got to be such an eyesore. I was like shamed into it. 8:51, we'll check on Jeff Poore and see what his show's got in line on the way next. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 854.
Let me get to this text from Pat real quick.
Sure.
Before we talk to Jeff. Said, as a construction worker, I wish they'd go to every job site in the country and snatch them boys up. They ruin our pay structure, do absolutely bad work, used a expletive for that, and can't speak English. Where did all this come from? How many people... Oh, this is about the parking mobile, but he goes back, guys, y'all are wrong about this. These illegals are making $1 to $3 per hour less than legals, cash money, and still getting benefits. They are literally making more than we are. So that's from Pat on the text line.
Wow.
Let's check in with Jeff Poore and the Jeff Poore Show on the way next. And Jeff, I'm interested in, well, always interested in the guest that you have on, but a competitor for the Orange Beach mayoral race with deadline yesterday to qualify, and you'll have that competitor on in the here we go. Jeff isn't able to hear us right now.
I'm sorry.
So, Jeff, your guest today, you're going to have a new competitor for Tony Kennon for the Orange Beach mayoral race. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a marquee matchup for the selection cycle in Baldwin County. I know y'all got a mayor's race in Mobile, but it's been relatively benign, but those are two heavyweights in Orange Beach city politics, as far as that goes. So I'm interested to hear why and talking about that with him and why the change. I mean, you think about it, Kennon's been mayor in Orange Beach since 2008.
Yeah,
that's quite a run there.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing he faced was the BP oil spill, which was a major deal, and a lot of people think he handled it very well. Jeff, let's talk about what's going on right now more internationally with the, you know, was Trump's move and the strikes, was that a good move? Was that the right thing to do? We can talk about that all day long. And also, what were the effects of those strikes on Iran and their nuclear sites? And there seems to be somebody who's leaking a point of view or some information to legacy media.
Yeah, I think that's coming out of Capitol Hill, obviously, where that's being leaked from. New York Times and CNN getting, you can probably figure out who it's being leaked from when they share this allegedly classified stuff with the media. But, it's a strange thing. We live in a world where we got to stop the big bad orange man no matter what. And any overtures toward a Nobel Peace Prize. We got to stop in their tracks. I mean, I think this is all generating to keep Trump from generating positive press on this.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like the, I don't know if Caitlin Collins was doing it, but I think Aaron Burnett, and you see the shots from like just last week to this week, and they say, well, the reports that Iran is building a nuclear bomb and that they're just days or weeks away, those are completely untrue. And then yesterday, well, it looks like the strikes only set them back a couple weeks.
Right.
What
yeah.
is it?
What is it? It's, and they're trying to have it both ways there. Mm-hmm. No, and I think there's also a level of this, Dalton, that there are some people who'd like to see the U.S. hit Iran again with, you know, and then, well, we didn't get them good enough. We need to go get them a little harder this time. So there's like all of these different sort of interests pushing this message, I believe.
There's a lot of voices out there.
There are, and I'm against escalation for the most part if we've done what we set out to do. But like Troy Carrico, who I know writes for the 1819, he put out a pretty solid argument yesterday on Midday Mobile. So I'm listening to some of these people, not all of them. You can kind of see blood in the eyes of some of them, but some do make some good arguments for getting rid of the regime.
Yeah, but what do people in this country want? I mean, is this keeping in the spirit of MAGA or whatever? And they poll it among Republicans. It's like Republicans seem to be on board with it, but overall, maybe not that great.
Yeah, and not all Republicans, and some high-profile MAGA folks against all of this. Thanks a bunch, Jeff, and we'll cue your show up and get ready to go here a little after 9.
All right, thanks for having me on.
So Jeff will have the Orange Beach candidate Boyd on with him hour 1. Joey Clark in hour number 2, and Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune at 11:30.
Dan and Dalton back tomorrow at 6 a.m.